Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wa al-afafa wa al-ghina ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our struggles, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place us on the right side of justice and the right side of truth, and make us amongst those people who always stand up for what is true and stand up against injustice. Brothers and sisters on Instagram, brothers and sisters on Facebook, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'm just here for today's Friday reminder. Some of the masajid are starting to open up. Some of them aren't open. But at Qalam, we want to continue to bring you relevant content that is spiritually inspirational and guiding for us. Especially in times of darkness, we need more light. And today's message is titled, The Religion of Satan, The Message of Moses. The Religion of Satan, The Message of Moses. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us much about the beloved Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And another story that is mentioned in the Surah Taha is the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Iblis's refusal to prostrate before Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has a special love for Adam throughout the Quran. There's a special love, a divine love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with the children of Adam. We are told in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaqtuna biyadayhi. He created us with His own hands. And then after creating us with His own hands, He blew His spirit into us as if we are formed by Him and kissed by Him. That love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for Bani Adam. Of the other creations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He says to it, kun fayakun, but for the Adam and the children of Adam, we have this special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Adam was created, we are told that all of the malaika and the jinn were told to prostrate to Adam. And everyone obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Iblis, Satan. And when he was asked, why did you not prostrate? Why did you not bow? He said, I am better than him. I am better than him. This is the satanic religion. This is the beginning of racism. Racism is what Satan began. He's the one that began it at this moment, saying that I am better than him. And race and the religion of Satan, you don't have to look in small cults or small, you know, places, all, you know, in the corner. No, the religion of Satan is out in the streets today. And that's the racism that we see. And in fact, what we as Muslim Americans must understand is that this country was built on the back of this satanic thought of one people being better than the next. And so we need to first understand from a religious perspective where this racism begins from. It is not the fitrah of the human being to be racist. It is not the fitrah that Allah has created us on. The fitrah is that we are humble servants of Allah. We were created from dirt. We will return from dirt. How is it that one piece of dirt arrogates itself over another piece of dirt just to acquire more dirt? Illogical, purely illogical. The fitrah is the humility. The fitrah, the natural way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, is a way that we humble ourselves. And so we have to understand first and foremost that this is where racism begins from. This is where it starts from. And secondly, we as American Muslims have to understand that this nation that we benefit from was built on racism. It is my forefathers who were ripped from their motherland for the last 400 years serving this nation, building it to what it was. And so often we don't realize that the nation was built on that systemic racism. And that's something that we really need to internalize within us. But here's the next question. Where does this racism come from? Where does this stem from? We already said that it is a satanic religion to be racist. It starts from Satan. But Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, Imam Ghazali, and others, they explain that the beginning of racism is that kibr we see, that arrogance that we see inside of Iblis. And what's interesting is when Moses is told to go to Pharaoh, we find in the Quran, "Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra." We find that Moses is reminding Pharaoh of his origin so that he can maybe come down from that high position of arrogance, come down and realize that he's spiritually sick. And this is what I want to talk about today, is that racism, we don't want to treat the symptoms of it. We want to understand the source of it, and we want to uproot racism from its source. And racism is a spiritual disease. Every other cure is not touching the source of it. Our Quran, the Prophet ﷺ, teaches us that that is the source. And if you study the literature of Islamic scholarship, that Ummul Amrad, the mother of all spiritual sicknesses, is arrogance. And that is what is being depicted to us in the Quran when we see this prime story of the very first races. He said, "Ana khayrun min," I am better than him. Well, what makes you better than him? I am created from this and he is created from that. And that becomes the source of racism, that arrogance, that kibr. And so as an American Muslim community, well, what do we do? Well, the first thing we need to do is realize that we can't change a societal problem until we clean our own house first. Until we clean our own house, we can't complain about the neighbor's house being dirty. And so that brings to mind and brings to table that we need to discuss about racism within the Muslim community. And I'm speaking specifically about the American Muslim community. You ask any black man in a hood in America, Have they faced racism by the Muslim store owner down the street? And they'll say, yes, they have. And I'll be the first to say I've experienced it myself. We have an issue within ourselves, a spiritual sickness within ourselves. And what we have to understand is the cure of that sickness is that connection with Allah, that true connection. Because when Allah told Moses to go to Pharaoh, he said, "Idhab anta wa akhuka wa la taniya fi dhikri." Listen closely. You and your brother go to Pharaoh. Go to this tyrant. Call this tyrant out. Save the children of Israel who have been victims of systemic oppression. For they built the pyramids. The riches of Egypt were built on the backs of Bani Israel. Slavery. So when Moses is sent to pull out the children of Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to face a tyrant, if you want to face a tyrant, you must have one thing for sure. You must la taniya fi dhikri. You must never lax yourself in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'm not speaking pacifism, go in the corner and just pray and that will solve the problems. I'm addressing the source because you cannot face the external tyrant until you face and conquer the inner tyrant within yourself. You cannot conquer the external tyrant until you conquer the tyrant which is within yourself. And that is done through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering your reality. So when Moses is sent to this tyrant that compared to the tyrant we are facing today, compared to the tyrant that we are standing up against today, Pharaoh's nothing. Pharaoh's kingdom is nothing compared to the tyrant we are facing today. So when sent to that tyrant, Moses was told, you will need the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so my first message is that we as a community must conquer that ego, that arrogance within our own selves. Once we begin to cure the heart, once we begin to work on the heart, cure the heart of those spiritual sicknesses, then we will be more ready to face the external tyrant. That's my first message to everyone. وَلَا تَنِيَ فِي ذِكْرِ. You have to remain in the remembrance of Allah, and that will keep you humble. That will keep you humble, and that will help you conquer that inner tyrant within yourself. And once you conquer that tyrant, then we can talk about conquering the next tyrant. But brothers and sisters, let's bring it back home and let's talk specifically. As I said, for the American Muslim community, the African American Muslim percentagely, from a percentage wise, is the largest demographic of American Muslims, yet the least represented in our masajid. The least represented in our masajid. Why is that? How is that a reality? How is that the case? Do we face racism within the American Muslim community? For sure. It's in our institutions. It's in our marriages. It's in our masajid. And it's in our interactions with one another. And not only that, we have bought into the colonized mind hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker, completely taken in our mentality and how we think. Where fair is lovely and lovely is fair. You all understand what I'm trying to say there. The point I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, is that we need to speak about this in our masajid. Just a few minutes ago, I posted something that I was listening to. Would Malcolm X, Al-Hajj Malika Shabazz, be allowed to give khutbah in your masjid? Or is his Arabic not good enough? His fiqh not tight enough? His political opinions too serious for you? And this brings me to the next part of the religion of Iblis. We said that there are two. We're talking about the religion of Satan and the message of Moses. One of the narrations tells us that when Adam was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed his body there and Iblis was able to see him. And all of the creation was allowed to see Adam before the soul was blown into him. You can read this in Ibn Kathir and all of the different tafasir. And when Iblis looked at him, he had this feeling that he's hollow inside, that Adam is hollow inside. And so the narration tells us that he flew into the mouth of Adam. He went through the body and he came out the backside of Adam. And he said, sure enough, this insan is hollow inside. If he's hollow, he'll spend his whole life trying to fill and satiate himself. I'll make this one go astray really easy. And brothers and sisters, this brings us to the next issue, which is pertinent and must be spoken about today. The next religion of Satan that we find there is the consumption, just constant consumption of things, always wanting more and more and more. Satan said, all I'm going to do is keep him wanting more. The Prophet ﷺ said that if we were given one mountain of gold, we'd want nothing but another mountain of gold. That speaks to the insatiable nature of this human. But what we need to understand is that is something we fight against. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to make dua, oh Allah, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. Oh Allah, make the provision of my family qut. Qut in Arabic language means just enough. Just enough. That's what we want for ourselves. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the reason we don't want to stand up for the rights of other people is because we risk losing that beautiful middle class suburban life that we love so much. We're worried about missing those Amazon deliveries. We're worried about losing that status of consumption that we can constantly have. And right now, brothers and sisters, what we need to understand, where are you going to stand? Where are you standing as history is unfolding before your eyes? Are you standing on the side of justice? Are you standing on the side of stopping systemic oppression? Or are you a part of the system that works to oppress certain people? That's the question I have. Are you standing on the side of stopping oppression? The Bani Israel of today is the black people of the world. Listen again. The black people of the world are the people who are being, and I say black people, why? Because in America, it may be the African American, but it's not just the African American. In other parts of the world, the black man is a different black man. In Pakistan, the black man is a different black man. In Egypt, the black man is a different black man, but it's the same black man that's being, society is being built upon. So the question is, where will we stand? Where will we stand when our children listen to history down the line? Grandma, where were you at? You know, brothers and sisters, I've never shared this before. I've been arrested one time in my life. I've been arrested, I think one time, maybe one time. To my recollection, one time. Been arrested one time. And let me tell you about that one time I've been arrested. I had just become Muslim. Maybe about a month I was Muslim. I was sitting at home and out of my front window, I saw sirens. Out of my front window, I saw sirens. And so I look out my front window, brothers and sisters, and right as I look out, I see a cop car pull up to another car. And while that car is still kind of moving, the police officer yanked open the door and he began to snatch the person out of the car while the person still had their seatbelt on. And he's yanking him and he's yanking him and he's yanking him. And I'm looking, what's going on here? This is horrible. What's going on? And finally, he puts the car in park and he yanks him and he throws him on the ground and he puts his knee on him. Brothers and sisters, this was over 13 years ago, 14 years ago. And so I say to myself as a new Muslim, I say, I can't sit in my house comfortably watching from the window as this other person is oppressed and harmed. And I don't care what kind of uniform this person has on. This is a human oppressing a human. And I'm a human watching that. And I'm not complacent. So I go outside and I stand at a comfortable distance to let them know they're being watched. And as everything calmed down, I walked over and I said, "Officer, I saw what just took place. That's my home right there. And I would like your badge number because I want to report your abuse." He said, "Oh, really? Come here." He put me in cuffs. "How about you sit down now too? How about you sit down?" And so now I'm sitting next to this person who's being arrested with cuffs on the curb as if I'm a criminal. And as other police officers arrive, they get the rundown of what happened. And then finally, the one in charge walks over to me and he says, "So what do you want to do?" And while I'm in cuffs, I say, "I want to report." He said, "Okay, well, you're going to go to jail then." For the next 6 hours, I spent time in the jail cell, going through booking, going through a strip search, being treated less than an animal. You need to understand as American Muslims what is going on out there. We can no longer live in these isolated bubbles and pretend that our suburban nice life is A-okay. We are standing on the wrong side of history. And the world, other Americans are watching. What are we going to do as American Muslims? And so finally, at the end of the day, I'm let out. They don't take me back home. They just let you out. Get back home. How am I going to get back home? Well, I don't know. Just get back home. Brothers and sisters, the message of Moses. The message of Moses was to save a people who had been victim to systemic oppression. That was the message of Moses. To go to a tyrant, speak to him, remind him of Allah, remind him, humble him, and then save those people. Brothers and sisters, are we standing with Pharaoh or are we standing with Musa? Are we standing with Pharaoh or are we standing with Musa? If you're standing with Musa, you must stay in the remembrance of Allah. اذْهَبَا أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ وَلَا تَنِيَ فِي ذِكْرِي. If you are standing next to Moses, number one, you're going to have to stay in the remembrance of Allah, because it is that spiritual awakening that will awaken the hearts of the tyrants. It is the spiritual connection to Allah that will awaken those dead hearts. And that's what we need to bring back. But we must bring it back within ourselves first, and then we bring it to the society as well. Brothers and sisters, educate your children. Educate yourself. Analyze your own biases. And it is time for us to stop waging war against color. The only color mentioned in the Quran is Adam. And Adam means brown. And Moses, as the prophet said in so many hadith, is a brown-skinned man. SubhanAllah. Think of these things in our deen. Look at the beauty of it. And so, brothers and sisters, we have been colonized to believe that a certain color is more beautiful than the other one. Where did that come from, and how is it being propagated? I don't care what culture you're from in the Muslim community. You know that you hear aunts and uncles saying that fair skin is more beautiful than dark skin. And if you pass that on, if you allow that to seep within yourself, I'm sorry, you're standing on the side of Pharaoh. You're standing on the side of Pharaoh. I know it's uncomfortable, but change is uncomfortable by nature. Change is uncomfortable, and we are trying to change the state of a people. We are trying to change our state because Allah says, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi-anfusihim." Allah will not change the state of a nation until the people start to work on their own selves. I'm calling out the Muslims, say, we got to work on ourselves. The small jokes of darkness, black, this, that, we have to end it right away. We have to end it with this generation, and we have to stand up for what is right. Walau ala anfusikum. Allah says, kunu qawamin. Be people who stand up for what is true. Walau ala anfusikum. Walau ala anfusikum. Stand up against ourselves, brothers and sisters. So the message of Moses, brothers and sisters, is quite simple. Remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Challenge injustice when you see it. Stand up for it. Stand up for it. The Muslim community is at odds because of the destruction of property. I don't condone the destruction of property. Who? Of course not. But the mere fact that we are more worried about the destruction of property than the destruction of life, there's an issue right there. If you are more concerned with the destruction of material goods than you are the destruction of a human being, there's a deep problem within your heart. And you need to think about that for a little bit. Because George Floyd isn't the only one. George Floyd is just simply the straw that broke the camel's back. That's all. We saw just a few weeks in Ramadan, another black man gunned down. Gunned down in Georgia. How many more do you have to see until you say enough is enough? And so this is what it's about, brothers and sisters. Number one, dhikr. وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِ. And number two, control that desire to just consume, 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 consume. The economy is great. The economy is not the issue. You built your economy on the backs of my grandfather. The issue is that you're still building your economy on the backs of my brothers. That's what needs to be spoken about, brothers and sisters. And so, unfortunately, many of the Muslims have not only refused to stand up against injustice, they have become active participants in the structural violence against the black man of America. And so it's time for us to call out a spade as a spade. It's time for us to be real. It's time for us not to be leeches on the inner cities that we've been for so long. Suburban masjids built from money leached from inner cities. This is the case for many of our families and many of the situations that we're in. My words are strong, but our pain is deep. Our pain is real. Our pain is real. How many more have to be killed before we as a people, as Muslims, say we will stand up on the right side? Brothers and sisters, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your willingness to open your hearts and understand the context of our country. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us active participants in standing for justice. Active participants for standing what is true, because Allah said it is true. Not because Allah said it was true. Because those very laws that you want to uphold at one time were the laws used to keep my family in bondage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us, given us Islam. We have to conquer two things, brothers and sisters. Number one, you have to conquer the arrogance in your own heart. You have to humble your own heart so that you don't see yourself as better than any other human being for something as trivial as skin color. And number two, we have to control that desire to consume, 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 because Satan said, this man is hollow. So I'm going to just keep him wanting more and more and more. And that desire for more will stop him from doing what he's supposed to do. And that's capitalism for you right there, brothers and sisters. Sell you things you don't need. You buy it with money you don't have to impress people you don't know. Somebody said that before. So the point, brothers and sisters, is may Allah make us content with what we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding to realize that our rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that this is a temporary journey. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the insight and the tawfiq to be on the right side of justice and truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us brave people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us brave people, inshallah, and accept our sacrifices, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, thank you very much for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal those who are in pain. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grab the hands of those causing the pain. Thank you very much. Jazakumullahu khairah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum. Jumma Mubarak to everyone, inshallah ta'ala.